26% from our recent highs of 10,500, and oil and stocks seeing record sell-offs today. We're going to be looking at Bitcoin's technical analysis, talking about where the perfect buying opportunity is for Bitcoin, alongside with looking at a chart that we talked about last week with this head and shoulder pattern forming, and it was exactly where we predicted the bottom of this downtrend for now. And we're going to talk about what I mean by for now, because of course things could always change, but you can see here we did predict that $7,600 area to be the area in which we find some form of support. And of course there was a CME gap here, as you can see here, that just got filled, which is a very positive thing here for Bitcoin. If you can see here, at first when we dropped down to this level, we did not fill that CME gap, but then you can see we went ahead and we filled that CME gap from this second push down. You can see right here, the CME gap was right in this area. And so we went down, we didn't fill the CME gap, but then we retested that low, found a second low, and then filled that CME gap. And now we're left with this huge gap, one of the biggest gaps that I've personally seen, from around that $9,000 level all the way down to $8,290. We're gonna talk about if we're gonna see price action to the upside anytime soon to fill that gap, and if so, what the bearish and bullish case is for that, along with some important headlines. We're gonna be taking a look at hash rate, confirmed transactions per day, oil plunging over 24%, the S&P 500 stunning 7% drop, and we actually saw the trigger of a circuit breaker for the first time since 2013 when it was implemented, which basically means the market dropped so much that trading was halted for 15 minutes. And we're going to talk about Trump's plan here with payroll tax cuts and what that may or may not do to our economy in order for us to see positive news as we start to head towards the end of this week. And of course, understand that the traditional markets and equity markets right now are very much correlating with Bitcoin. And so that's extremely important. We're gonna be giving away the Intelligent Investor to one of you guys watching in the comments and in the chat. So make sure to like this video and turn on your post notifications if you guys want to participate in this giveaway. And let's just dive right in to this Bitcoin technical analysis, because first and foremost, I want you guys to realize we did form that head and shoulder pattern that we initially talked about last week, and we did break down, we filled that CME gap right around that area, but now you can see we are below all three moving averages, and we're at a critical point for Bitcoin as we have two very bullish symmetrical triangles forming here. And here's going to be the first ascending resistance level that we're going to go ahead and draw out, and then of course this was the support level that allowed us to predict that $7,600 area being the level in which we were going to find some support. And of course that CME gap was also alongside that level. But if we look at the weekly chart, we've also got another area here where we can draw a bullish symmetrical triangle. And it's interesting because you can see that this is also a potential scenario for us. And we're gonna talk about exactly how this scenario may or may not play out. And of course, we'll go ahead and draw this right over here. Let's actually go ahead and pull this up. I'm gonna actually use this other trend line here because that trend line coincides with the current support, but I want you guys to see a possibility of us even going lower just in case, because of course we want to have that bearish scenario drawn out just so that we can be prepared for it, because of course as we start to see what unfolds in equity markets over the next few weeks, it's going to very much determine Bitcoin's path, as we're now seeing that Bitcoin is not acting as the storage of value that we initially thought it would during a time of economic crisis. And so we're going to be drawing out these two bullish symmetrical triangles and talk about each one of them and the key levels to watch here as we draw our bullish and bearish case. I see we've got Michael, Chris, Nice, Master Benny on the live stream. Good to have you guys. We'll take some questions from the live audience in just a second here. But first and foremost, I want you guys to see the bullish case for Bitcoin. And I'm going to first draw out this potential inverse head and shoulder form. You can see we've got this left shoulder here, we've got this head, we went ahead and formed a right potential shoulder here where we topped out the exact area we topped out at previously here around October of 2019, around that $10,500 area. And right now we are potentially forming that right shoulder. Now understand, if we were to complete this light right shoulder with a proper neckline here, we would want to see prices right around that $7,300 area. And so we're gonna draw a little line here just so that we can have that. Or if anything, what we'll do is draw a horizontal line so you guys can stay put watching the potential neckline of where we could potentially see price action head towards and still have a bullish case in the mix. And so right now we're watching this very key level, as you can see here, of this potential inverse head and shoulder forming. And of course we want to see price action right now stay above that 76.50 area in order for us to not have to break down further. But if we do break down further, we still have that $7,300 area there acting as potential support for us. But of course, continuing up from this area would also be very bullish, because every time we've touched this support level, you can see we've went above the $10,000 level. The first time took us all the way up to around 13,840, and then the second time took us right around 10,400. And so hopefully this third time can take us back towards the high 9,000s to then potentially find more of a squeeze towards the apex of this bullish symmetrical triangle, when of course we've got the May 2012 halving coming up right around May 14th, which you can see here with this vertical line is the exact area in which that apex ends and potentially for us to see a breakout from there. But if we look at the past halvings, what you'll notice is we don't necessarily just see price action soar to the upside as the halving approaches or even after the halving. Typically there's that 4 to 5 month incubation period in which we wait until we gradually start to move up. And so it's very important to watch this 7650 level. That's a very key level. And then from there, that $7,300 level also potentially going to act as a level of support. Now understand, anything above that $7,300 level for me would still be bullish. Some analysts are saying that we may double bottom here around 6,400, but I'm going to talk about why I don't see that as a bullish case. And this transitions into our potential bearish case. And so with our bearish scenario, what you'll see here is it looks a little bit different. What we're going to be watching for in the bearish scenario is this 100 week moving average right around that $7,200 area. And the reason I want to be watching that $7,200 area is the fact that 7,200 here is a break of this ascending support line, and it puts us in this area where we have this huge area and gap for us to potentially see more downside. And of course, that potential for us to go all the way down to that 200 week moving average, where we could potentially see that $5,300 level, which of course isn't what we want, but if it does happen, it would still keep us in a bullish symmetrical triangle. And of course, that's exactly where we bottomed out with the last bear market. And then we saw price levels go all the way back up to around that $13,000 area. And so for the bearish scenario, we want to watch that $7,200 level, being that that's the 100 week moving average. But of course, along with that, if we look at this daily chart, you can see here on the daily chart, we've got a lot of volume as well holding us around that $7,200 area. There's still that area of volume. As you can see, if we clear all of these drawing tools, that $7,200 area right here has some volume. And so that could still potentially hold us. And of course, if we still continue down, we've got this area of massive volume around that $6,500 area. But my concern is if we do break down below 7,000, a lot of the bulls will then turn into bears. And of course, that volume could work to the opposite scenario of us heading back down towards these lower levels, in which we'll finally realize that Bitcoin is massively sold off, and then a continuation to the upside, reaching that 5,300 potential area. And so that's the bearish and bullish case. Really what we need to watch for right now is if we're able to maintain that $7,600 level. And if we go into more of a micro time frame, you can see here, we want to, of course, try to stay above that CME gap that we just filled of that 76.99 area, because if we're able to stay above that, then there's that high potential that we will see a continued upside, especially when we look at this new gap that's formed. And we've pretty much always have filled gaps. And of course, even right now, you can see that one small gap to the downside was the last gap we needed to fill to, you know, potentially continue upwards. And we went ahead and not only bottomed out right above it, but then we went back down to fill the gap before seeing a continuation to the upside, which was very interesting. And of course, was exactly what I had drawn out for you guys on our last video on Friday. And it was that left shoulder, head and right shoulder potentially forming for that breakdown. And of course, that did happen. I see our TradingView article here got tons of mentions, which was awesome. So very interesting there. Let's see here. Master Benny says, no more bears. Chris Costa's name. You have to read your TA book again, brother. I don't know what you're talking about, Chris. What, you have to take extrapolated targets before that bullish. Extrapolated targets. He's talking about bullish movements, but there's nothing in the charts that show bull in the long term. I'm not sure what you're talking about, Chris. You know, if you're going to tell me to look at my charts, why don't you go into our Discord and look at our trading patterns here, and you'll see exactly what bullish symmetrical triangle I'm talking about here. You can see here the bearish symmetrical triangle is coming from an uptrend already coming down. Of course, Bitcoin never came down from above 20,000. It came up to 20,000. So that would actually consider it, it would be considered a bullish symmetrical triangle. So I think, Chris, you might need to go and look at your TA book. And of course, if so, go to our helpful reads and you can read all about candlestick charting. Or for you, maybe you want to start at a more basic level and even read the trading psychology, because it seems like you might not know what you're talking about. But of course, let's go ahead and talk about some more headlines here. Very important to look at hash rate, of course, as we approach the halving, because as this matures, the more and more hash rate will bring us closer to the halving. You can see here, we are now seeing all-time highs with the hash rate. Of course, we've been looking at that over the last couple of weeks, and Bitcoin transactions per day, not necessarily much movement since we've been watching this last week. But of course, you can see we did see that quick break to the upside from this elongated downtrend. So of course, we're continuing up. And hopefully we continue to see more and more transactions per day, as we saw India lift its ban, we saw South Korea lift its ban and legalize cryptocurrency trading. And so more of that positive action is going to really lead to some more positive momentum for transactions. And of course, the fundamentals here are all based upon who's using Bitcoin and how often it's used here. Chris Koss says, ah, okay, Naeem. Tay Show Fellow from Twitter says, good analysis, bud. LOL, awesome response. Thank you so much, brother. So, huge headlines. Before we start taking more questions from the audience, I want you guys to realize oil plunging 24% for the worst day since 1991. Why is that important? Well, it hits a multi-year low after OPEC deal failure sparks price war. And of course, this couldn't have been better timing, you know, with the whole coronavirus outbreak. You can see here why this article is so important. It says here, oil prices plunged to multi-year lows on Monday as tensions between Russia and Saudi Arabia escalate. Of course, Saudi Arabia lowering its prices here. You can see here it says Monday posted their worst day since 1991. The Saudis are the lowest cost producer by far. There is a reckoning ahead for all the other producers, especially those companies operating in the US shale patch. Of course, we don't want to have to continue lowering our oil prices, but that's going to be necessary if we have competitors lowering their oil prices. So you can see here it says Saudi Arabia announced massive discounts to its official selling prices for April, and the nation is reportedly preparing to increase its production above the 10 million barrel per day mark. And why this is important is realize as oil prices drop, it's going to affect the equity markets, which then in turn affects Bitcoin, right? You can see here it says the oil market is even more dire than in November 2014 when such a price war last started. As it comes to a head with significant collapse in oil demand due to the coronavirus, this becomes more and more of a serious situation. I'm going to talk about why I don't really think this is the biggest deal. And especially if you go to the end of this article, it says here, both events, coronavirus and OPEC falling apart, were not expected or priced into the market a month ago. But then it says the unfolding events is reminiscent of 2014 when Saudi Arabia, Russia, and the US competed for market share in the oil industry. As productions escalated, prices plummeted. We did also see equity markets drop at that time. But of course, we made it through that. And that's what I want you guys to realize, is the fact that we make it through these times of turbulence, especially when they're things that we've solved in the past. And you can see here it says oil has become a bigger problem for the markets than the coronavirus. And in my opinion, if that's true, then this isn't that big of a deal, because the coronavirus was really what created so much fear in people's, you know, mind, that dropped the markets like crazy out of nowhere, unexpectedly, you know, the fastest drop ever in the S&P 500, and then continuing that week after week. But of course, if the oil crisis, which has happened in the past multiple times, November 2014, there wasn't ever a recession, right? So if that becomes a bigger issue than the coronavirus, then of course, I think we're fine at, you know, in the long term, which historically, if you look at the S&P 500, we've always been fine in the long term. And of course, you know, for those of you that understand the long term aspect of investing in equity markets, you know that there's ups and downs, but overall, things will continue up. Of course, 2008 was a whole different scenario. It was the housing market that caused that crash. But I think right now, we're not seeing anything we can't handle. And of course, that doesn't mean we're going to continue to see downside, or it's not, you know, going to confirm that we're going to immediately see a correction to the upside. But what I am saying is, I don't think this is going to be an all-out pandemic where the whole world goes into a massive crisis. I think that this is something we're going to eventually find a vaccine for, work our way through. The oil debate will eventually go away, as it has in the past, and of course things will continue as normal. And so don't be fearful when others are greedy, but be greedy when others are fearful, as Warren Buffett says. And of course, The Intelligent Investor, one of his favorite books, will be giving this away to one of you guys in the chat and in the comment. Even Chris can win this. I know Chris was putting his constructive criticism out there, but you still got the chance to win this, brother. You're still an audience, you're still a viewer, and I appreciate that. So let's continue on with these articles. I see here Nathaniel Brown says, good oil needs to go. Did you see what Trump tweeted? He said, guys, don't worry, that means gas is gonna be cheaper, we're good. I thought that was a little bit funny there. Edward says, France also opened up crypto and legalized it. Yeah, we talked about that in our last video, which was also very positive, because that brings more and more, I would say, intrinsic value towards Bitcoin as more and more use case arises. Kelly says, I think you are wrong. This will amplify the already coming disruption. You should be telling people to prepare on all levels. Well, I obviously would say that preparation is important, right? Because an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. But at the end of the day, you have to understand, Kelly, you know, selling while the markets are 20% down, and, you know, let's say you have your retirement and you start selling at these lows, that's probably not the best reaction, right? So I think it's important to stay calm. And as Warren Buffett once says, when you don't know what to do, don't do anything. And I think that's an important idea and mindset to have during times like this, versus freaking out and saying, okay, well, I'm going to have to pull out all of my investments because it's, you know, 20% down right now, when in reality, this type of stuff happens. And of course, what we've found in the past is holding and working through things like this typically have a better outcome than panic selling or freaking out about it, right? So the best advice I could say is continue your overall strategy as you normally would. If you typically invest your weekly or biweekly paychecks in a 401k, in a target date index fund, continue to do so at the same intervals with the same amount. Don't freak out. Maybe even start buying at a discount. But I'm not going to sit here and put a positive bias towards the situation and say buy things at a discount, right, Kelly? Because I think that's where you're coming at here. But I would say that continuing your overall strategy, that's the best mindset in a time like this, because of course, these are things that you should plan ahead for. Even if you started investing in December or January, where of course, all those gains are now wiped out, understand that you brought yourself into this investment vehicle, and the best players in this investment vehicles are the ones that play it as a long-term investor, and that's holding through times of crisis. Because if you look at history, and we'll talk about some of this, even in this article, I think this is a good one to talk about. You can see that following the worst days in the S&P 500 and the Dow, you know, today dropping over 2,000 points, the worst day in history, we've typically seen the best days within a week or two time frame following the worst days. And so understand, if you miss one, two, three, or four of the best days in the market, your returns are significantly lower than those who stick through the highs and the lows over the long term. So do you agree with that, Kelly? If not, let's take a look at this article. I think this will shed some more light into the situation. It says here, the S&P 500 just lost a stunning 7.6%. Here's how the stock market tends to perform historically after a Black Monday. And you can see it says in this article, on average, the S&P 500 index has returned 12.75% in the 6 months after the daily 5% drop. And gains are also higher in the following day. You can see it says, following all 10 of the Monday's 5% drops, since 1952, the S&P has gained the next trading day. And interestingly enough, we called a Bitcoin long at around 76.90. And of course, that went straight into profits. We've already hit target one for those of you that are in our Discord group. And the reason we posted that was we were, of course, watching that support level, that ascending support level that we talked about earlier with Bitcoin. But most importantly, we realized the fact that, of course, stock markets had a horrible day today. For the first time ever, we saw the circuit breakers that were first implemented in 2013 trigger. And in my experience, when we've seen bad days like that in the stock market, we've typically seen great days, you know, specifically the day after. Whether it's great or it's positive, Bitcoin has been correlating highly with equity markets as of recently. And so assuming tomorrow is going to be a positive or an all right day for the stock market and equity markets, we could also assume that Bitcoin will at least maintain above 76.90 until we continue to see where this trend unfolds. And so to continue on to that article, you can see here it says, with the S&P 500, it fell 7% at the open, which resulted in the first triggering of the New York Stock Exchange circuit breakers since they were implemented in 2013. And that was actually implemented in order to prevent, you know, a 22% drop as we've seen once in the past, which was the worst drop ever in the S&P 500. And so what are we doing about this, right? That's the big question. We understand Trump is trying his best through all this turmoil. We can see he's pushing a payroll tax cut and assistance for hourly workers in coronavirus economic response. We're not going to go much into this, but just realize he's trying his best to create a case of a recovery. But of course, that also creates panic because people realize this is a bigger deal than not. And so hopefully you guys enjoyed those headlines. If you did like the video, we're going to wrap this up early. We don't want to take too much of your Monday night, but I do want to take a couple questions here from the live audience. Kelly says, dude, I've been in crypto since 2017, not worried there. Oh yeah, that will do nothing. I agree with that. I mean, the payroll tax cut and a lot of the things that he's implemented are not going to do, even the Fed's slashing rates 0.5%. Well, guess what happened? We had a 2000 point drop today, right? But we're nearing the bottom, in my opinion. It's just going to take a little bit more time. Of course, when we look at like the Shanghai composite right now, you can see we're about 1% up. You know, they're a day ahead of us, so they're doing fine on their Tuesday. Traditionally, we would follow markets like this. You look at the European markets are doing quite well right now. I mean, nothing like a 2000 point drop, but of course, they are not continuing their drop, and that's expected. But, you know, in time, we will unfold or we will see this situation unfold. I think that's important. But of course, you know, we're breaking major, major levels of support here. But this is not the first time this has happened. You know, we could sit here and talk about what happened recently here in 2018, where we saw a pretty significant correction. But you can see here, even then, we had this support level that we could have drawn out at that time that did break. But of course, it only broke for this short amount of time before we saw that V-shaped correction to the upside. And so, you know, looking at traditional market like the Dow, you know, things are starting to mature in certain ways. But of course, we don't know the extent of this right now. You can see we bounced on that 200-week moving average. 200-week moving average, obviously being a very significant level. I mean, that's 200 weeks in that moving average. That 200. I mean, the bigger the time frame, right? The more exclusive that data, the more important that data. We're looking at a 200-week moving average. That's pretty significant that we're bouncing on a 200-week moving average. I mean, how many years are in a 200-week time frame, right? So, you look at that. That's a 4-year. Time frame, pretty much. So it's very interesting there. Max says tomorrow another dump, I think. You know, well, traditionally, as we saw with the S&P 500, every time we've seen a 5% plus drop, we have seen upside the next day. And so it's very unlikely that we will see a continuation of a downtrend tomorrow, at least on Tuesday, for our US equity markets. And of course, Bitcoin has been following equity markets quite heavily over the recent times. And so it's quite possible that we will see that push to the upside. And of course, we've got this huge CME gap right now with Bitcoin that needs to be filled. And, you know, you guys don't put too much weight into CME gaps sometimes, but you have to realize that we predicted the, you know, quote unquote temporary bottom of this downtrend by looking at that CME gap. You can see here, initially we had dodged it with that push down. We didn't fill that CME gap, right? So initially we didn't get to fill it. You know, if we zoom in here, you can see where that CME gap is right over here. We did not end up filling that gap. We went right to that bottom here, but then of course price action eventually filled that CME gap with the second wick, and so that got filled. But now we've got this bigger one all the way up from 9,000 down to around 8,200, 8,300. So the question is, when is that going to get filled? Sooner or later, because at this point we've filled every gap to the downside and we've filled every gap to the upside, but this is the only one that's left, and it's a pretty significant one in my opinion. So we'll have to see where that eventually goes here. Kelly says, a couple of years erased on a few weeks, just that quick. I love people like Kelly that challenge and ask provoking questions, thought-provoking questions, you know, because that's where things become interesting. That's where ideas arise. That's where things are challenged and things become more clear. And so if you guys have any more thought-provoking ideas, we'll take a couple questions from you guys. We'll give away this book to one of you guys. Matter of fact, since Kelly was so engaging on this live stream in a constructive way, you won the book, Kelly. Why don't you go ahead and send me a message on Discord? And then the second person will be somebody in the comments after this video is published. Send me a message on Discord. You won the book. We'll wrap this live stream up. If you guys want to be eligible, comment after this video is published. Make sure to turn on your post notifications, like the video, and we'll wrap it up from there. Acosti says, Naeem, are you buying now or are you going to wait? I'm dollar cost averaging, as I always do, and then I have 10% of my capital allocated for trading. And of course, the reason I do that, I'd like to invest 90% of investable capital in long-term investments, whether that's equity markets, index fund, target date index funds, even Bitcoin, gold. That's for the long term, 90%, even real estate, 90%, while 10% goes towards trading. And the reason I like that strategy is because, understand, when you're trading, if you're doing it right, then that 10% of your allocation should eventually turn into 20% of your allocation. And then you go ahead and rebalance your portfolio and you take that 20%, bring it back down to 10%, take the other 10%, put it in a long-term holding. Because at the end of the day, you have to think long-term. Do you want to constantly be trying to trade and create income that way? Or would you rather have long-term investments creating passive income through dividend payouts, cash flow producing real estate, or whatever it might be? And so that mindset is key in my opinion, because not only are you risking less capital, but you're also forcing yourself to successfully multiply that capital as a trader. And so of course, you know, for me, one strategy that I've talked about in the Discord is taking an account, doubling the account, and then taking that profit and pushing it aside. And so if you're able to, let's say out of 10 phases of trading, if you're able to take 8 of those accounts and put profits aside, and let's say 2 of the accounts you end up blowing them because you're over leveraging, or you may have just made the wrong trade, well, it's fine that you blew those 2 accounts because you at least had those other 8 to keep you stable. And of course, as you become more and more proficient at trading, you can utilize different strategies, utilize more leverage, less leverage, and you have more of an understanding of how to ladder in, ladder out, take profits, and so forth. So it's important to understand stuff like that. So we're going to wrap this stream up. I don't want to take too much of you guys' time. Max says, why strategy? Nathanus says, money is debt. Edward says, I'm enjoying this live stream. I'm glad you are. Nathanus says, glad to see you're still hitting the crypto headlines. You're one smart chap. Keep preaching. Glad people like you around to teach and expose people to the way market works. Thank you. And that's why I love giving out books like this. Chris Koss says, an LTC will be $3. Bitcoin will crash. Man, you're sounding like some of those guys on TV. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Hope you guys enjoyed this video. And our next one will be on Wednesday. So see you guys on the Discord. And I'll be out. Take care, guys. Have a good one. Thank you for tuning in. Akashi says, wish you can live stream every day. You're the best, Naeem. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate those kind words. So let's look forward to a better day tomorrow in equity markets and Bitcoin. And so I'll see you guys soon.